People are, if you've looked around and you've watched the news, it seems like increasingly people are cranky and negative today. Wherever you turn, there seems to be a choir of people, these voices that are fighting, disputing, criticizing, complaining. Cynicism, pessimism abound, and jealousy and entitlement. They tempt us daily and try and draw us in. And so all of that's going on in the world. And the world, I think, is ripe. It is ready for an alternative message. The message of God through Jesus Christ. Biblical gratitude, though, is gritty. It's gritty gratitude. And so we'll talk about what that means. We have to be, part of that is that we have to be honest about our own brokenness, the brokenness of the world. We have to affirm the difficulties and the disagreements and the things that are going on around us. Yet, we also have to see all the reasons to give thanks in all things at all times. And so, we have to be a people that don't just sweep the junk of life under the carpet out of ignorance. But we find reasons, and they are there, to be more grateful and not a grumbler. We must learn how to give thanks on both the mountaintops and deep down in the dark valleys. And so in this fallen world and with sinful hearts around, we see grumbling is common, very, very common. And the fact of the matter is, I said I do it, but I know that at least some of you do it too. I've heard you. And maybe we've even complained to one another, you and I, right? I groan quicker than I give thanks. And sometimes I ask God why, or somehow maybe I don't ask him why, but I'm unsettled with what I'm seeing and experiencing more than I am prone to give thanks and praise to him. So Lord, help us. Lord, help us to be more persistent in praise rather than being consistent complainers, which we can be indeed. So here's the deal. That great theologian, Forrest Gump, once said that life is like a box of chocolates, right? You never know what you're going to get. While there is definitely some truth in that, I would say life is more like a box of paradoxes. Right? There are things in our lives that don't seem to make sense, that don't quite fit with our theology or our understanding of reality or what should or could be going on, and we struggle. Yet, as disciples of Christ, lovers of God, we've seen enough of God's power and experienced his wisdom and his love to know that even in the midst of those paradoxes, They do somehow fit together. Though we may not even understand it or be able to recognize it at the moment, we know the character of our God, and we know the riches of Christ. And so maybe we can't figure it out now, but there's a day coming when we will understand it. But all of that makes it, those paradoxes, it makes it challenging to live life at times and challenging to be a thankful believer. Part of 2 Corinthians 6 goes like this, and we've a while back, a few months ago, we looked at a whole bunch of paradoxes. There are many in the Bible, but in 2 Corinthians 6, there's a couple, you know, as we are as sorrowful yet rejoicing, paradox. Poor, yet we make many rich, paradox. As having nothing, yet possessing everything, paradox. Ephesians 5, verses 15 through 20, if you were to divide that passage in half, you'll find kind of two paradoxes. And the first one, let me read the first one to you. I think we have it on the screen. This is verses 15 through the first part of 18. It says, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is, and do not be drunk with wine in which is dissipation." So you read that section and you see, okay, we're to be wise, we got to be careful, we got to be vigilant, the days are evil, we got to be redeeming the time, we got to be aware, alert, on guard. And it rings It rings with urgency, right? These seemingly would be maybe the words of the army captain who says to his unit just before they are getting ready to enter into combat, into a battle. These are the type of things that he would say in a sense. And so the air is tense and your heart is beating fast as you see this, you read this and you realize this is a do or die time in a way. And then the paradox comes in the second part of this passage. This is the second part of verse 18 through 20. It says, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Boy, we have switched gears, have we not? Paradox. Now you read that, it almost seems like, okay, the battle's over. This tension that we read before and the vigilance of the conflict seem to be gone, right? It's like the battle is over and we're back home and it's Thanksgiving Day and there's a fire in the fireplace and there's sweet fellowship of family all around me and there's pumpkin pies on the countertop and the aroma of delightful delicacies that fill the air, right? But this is a paradox. We are at war, yet we are at peace. And as those things collide, that paradox can make it difficult for us to be thankful, to give God glory in the midst of all of that. So there's urgency and thanksgiving, war and peace, paradox. So where is the power to live in this life of paradoxes? How do we do this? And of course, the second portion of that scripture began with the answer, right? Be filled with the Spirit. How do we give thanks unto the Lord in these evil days? Be filled with the Spirit. How do we bless the Lord with praise and thanksgiving? Be filled with the Spirit. There are ways that we can respond while we're in the midst of these paradoxes, in the midst of trials and persecutions, experiencing things that don't make sense, that we don't understand, and just four basic things to remember. You know, resting in the sovereignty of God, resting in God's sovereign plan, clinging to God's good promises, and looking around and recognizing God's work. It's evident. It's there. It's happening. He's busy at work. His purposes are being worked out if we would stop and recognize it. And four, trusting in God's steadfast love and His faithfulness, even when we can't see it, can't feel it, but we know it's true. Our main text today is going to be Psalm 103, and really we'll just take a glance at the beginning and challenging you to go deeper in it. Psalm 103 is interesting. It's somewhat of an acrostic psalm in that an acrostic psalm would have each verse would have begin with a letter of the Hebrew alphabet and then successively, right, all the way through. But Psalm 103 has some of that, but is often not listed with the other truly, purely acrostic psalms because it isn't all quite that way. But it's interesting to note. Some psalms, you'll notice, are addressed to God. Some are spoken to other people, the righteous, sinners, Gentile nations, other groups. But Psalm 103, the psalmist seems to be at least initially speaking to himself. And later he opens it up, but we only have to read to verse 2 or so to learn why he's speaking to himself. He's reminding himself of God's blessings so he will continue to be grateful for all that God has done for him and his people. Now, it appears as you go down through Psalm 103 that David is, and by the way, I think at the beginning of the psalm it says, from David or given by David or something. Did David write this you know, we're not totally sure. It's interesting, large portions of Psalm 103 are found in other psalms in different places. And maybe David collected these and put them together for this hymn of praise, this song of praise. But as you go down through Psalm 103, it seems like David's cataloging the goodness of God, enumerating his blessings. Less than a moment of depression or frustration or backsliding that he should forget the source of his blessings. Forget that God is indeed good. Forget that he has great and deep spiritual riches in God, and that he might take God's goodness and grace for granted. Some have said that most of the unhappiness in life is due to the fact that you are listening to yourself instead of talking to yourself. Now, some of you, like Don, talk to yourself a lot. I've noticed that with Don, and that's not a bad thing. In fact, we all talk to ourselves a lot. David didn't just talk to himself, though. He preached to himself, and really, that is one of the things I hope we can take home today, that we should not listen to ourselves, but we should preach to ourselves. Preach to ourselves the truth and goodness of God, because if we just listen to ourselves, you know, we have all these crazy thoughts and things that rattle through our brains that we picked up here and there, and many of them are of the enemy, and many of them drag us down. Bless the Lord, O my soul. It's interesting, David's challenging himself, right? He's telling his soul, bless the Lord. And he does this in other places. This is Psalm 42:5. He says, why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. So, do you see what he's doing? He's preaching to his soul. Why are you cast down, soul? Why are you disquieted, frustrated within me, soul? What's your problem? Soul, hope in God. Praise him for the help of his countenance. Isn't that interesting? Countenance, we think of face of God. Maybe we could say his intervening influence upon us. But praise him for the help of his countenance. And I just think that whole idea of his countenance, that through that his presence comes our help. I think that's just a beautiful thing. So there's that. And then Psalm 62, verses 5 and 6, he says, my soul, listen up, my soul, wait silently for God alone, for my expectation is from him. He is my rock, my salvation. He is my defense, and I shall not be moved. Sometimes we just need a good slap in the face. Sometimes we just need a good slap in the soul. I love the way he's addressing his soul again. Soul, wait silently. Soul, my expectation is from God. Soul, he is your rock. Soul, he's your salvation. Soul, he is your defense. Soul, you will not be moved. He's preaching to himself, isn't he? Preaching to his soul, if you will. So how about you? We know Don talks to himself, but there are others of you that talk to yourselves. All of us do, really. But do you talk to yourself mostly in a positive or a negative way? Are you saying things that you've picked up or untrue or maybe rationalized? Or are you speaking truth to your soul, encouragement to your soul from God? Are you allowing the Spirit of God to speak through you to your soul? That it might cause your soul to see the reality of life as God sees it. So in a way, there is, and this may sound strange, but in a way, there is no one more influential in your life than you. Why would that be? Well, no one talks to you more than you do. You realize that? No one talks to you more than you do. Let's face it, when we really think about it, we, throughout the day, we have like an unending conversation with ourselves, don't we? What do you think about that, Brian? What should you do there, Brian? Well, that was stupid, Brian. What were you thinking? You ding dong. What? We're just all day long, we're making all these decisions. But here's the deal. In our talking to ourselves, our goal is to be under the sway of the Spirit, right? That's the goal. And you are talking to yourself all the time. You're interpreting, you're organizing, you're analyzing what's going on, what you see, what's around you, what's inside of you. You may be saying things, you know, I'm really tired. I woke up this morning with, oh, I just have this like sense of dread. I don't know where it came from. I'm not sure why. Maybe some crazy memory pops into your head from when you were a kid. Where did that come from? Why did I think of that? You're trying to figure this all out. You're recalling different events that went on yesterday, things you could have done better, all these things. But how wholesome, how true, how faith-driven, how Christ-centered is your preaching to yourself, this conversation that goes on all day long with you and you? Do you remind yourself of your great need for Christ's righteousness? Do you point yourself once again to the call of God's holiness and the beauty and the practicality of God's grace? Do you tell yourself to run towards Him in those moments when you so desperately want to back away and run maybe from Him? God is only found to be enough by those who seek Him with their soul. Seeking God means that in all you do, you keep His honor in your mind, His word in your heart, His purposes and His glory as your goal. So you are seeking to actually know Him and make Him known to yourself and all those around you. And in so doing, this is the fertile ground of a life and a heart that is able to freely and deeply bless the Lord. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Matthew Henry says of this psalm calls more for devotion than exposition. It is a most excellent psalm of praise. The psalmist stirs up himself and his own soul to praise God. So, just if you have a Bible there, open it up. I just want to read through. This is Psalm 103, and then we'll look at a couple portions of this. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like an eagle's. The Lord executes righteousness and justice for all those who are oppressed. He made known His ways to Moses and His acts to the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious. He is slow to anger and abounding in mercy. He will not always strive with us, nor will He keep His anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great His mercy towards those who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. As a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth those who fear Him. He knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust, As for man, his days are like grass, a flower of the field. So he flourishes, the wind passes over it, and it's gone. And its place remembers it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those who remember his commandments to do them. The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. Bless the Lord, you his angels. David's, now he's not only telling others to bless the Lord, now he's telling the angels to bless the Lord, who excel in strength, who do his word, heeding the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all you hosts, you ministers of his, who do his pleasure. Finally, bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. I think that is intriguing, that verbiage to me. And as we look at, we'll look at here at verses 1 and 2. Let me just read it again. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Just this idea, I guess it's the word. And some of your versions may say praise, but this word bless, I struggle with the idea that not that I should, well, yeah, maybe that I should too in some sense, but that I can bless the Lord. But as we look at this word, it's berach, and it means to kneel, to give adoration and praise. To bless means to say good things about the Lord in a spirit of admiration, gratitude, awe, wonder. So in that sense, I think we can kind of embrace this idea of I can bless the Lord, and I'm calling my soul to bless the Lord. And then this part, he uses all here a few times. Bless the Lord, O my soul, all that is within me. Bless his holy name. This is not, David's not talking about something religious, something traditional. He's not talking about something superficial, something shallow. He's not talking about hypocrisy. He's talking about from the very bone and fiber of your being that you would bless the Lord with all that you are. That's the kind of blessing of the Lord that David is calling us to. And it might make you think of maybe Deuteronomy 6:5. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, right? How much of who we are is superficial, is outward? How much of it is through and through, to the bone and fiber, to the heart of hearts? In Matthew 23, Jesus confronting the scribes and the Pharisees, the woes, right? This is Matthew 23:25. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you cleanse the outside of the cup and the dish, but inside you are full of extortion and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisee, first cleanse the inside of the cup and dish, that the outside of them may be clean also. Verse 27, he says, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, and indeed appear beautiful outwardly, but inside you're full of dead men's bones and all uncleanliness. Even so, you outwardly appear righteous to men, but inside you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. God wants us to surrender all. He doesn't want to play games or church or churchianity or religiosity or whatever you want to call it. He wants a deep and penetrating, passionate relationship with you. What do you think of this quote? If your spiritual life, we'll put it on the screen, if your spiritual life is not truly internal, then it is truly worthless. If your spiritual life is not truly internal, then it is truly worthless. It's a sobering thought, is it not? And of course, it beckons us to ask, you know, where am I? What kind of games am I playing? Have I surrendered all to Him? So, even after the praise and adoration has ended, we must be prepared and empowered by Him to be obedient to Him. The word all is found at least 9 times in this Psalm 103, and it's a call for a total, radical commitment to God. We give thanks to the Lord because we receive our food. And I find this interesting as we're thinking about Thanksgiving and being full of praise for our Lord. We pray often before we eat. Listen to this. This is Deuteronomy 8, and I want to read verses 7 through 14, so I'll do it quickly. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and springs that flow out of the valleys and the hills, a land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates, and a land that has olive oil and honey, a land which you will eat bread without scarcity, in which you will lack nothing, a land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills you can dig copper. Verse 10, listen to this. When you have eaten and are full, then you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which He has given you. And whether you take that literally, that maybe it would be a good idea to pray again after we eat, or just in principle, that when I have been blessed and there is a fullness and goodness and things are flowing into my life, that is a time, maybe I was crying out to Him when I was struggling, when the checkbook had a negative red, and now there's a bounty there. Now that there's a bounty there, let me bless the Lord and thank Him. It says, beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping His commandments, His judgments, His statutes, which I commanded you today, lest when you have eaten and you're full and have built beautiful houses and you're dwelling in them, and when your herds and your flocks are multiplying, your silver and your gold are multiplied, and all that you have is multiplied, when your heart is lifted up, and you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. We have all, if we are in Christ, we have all been rescued, redeemed from the land of Egypt and from the bondage and enslavement of sin. So think of Thanksgiving with me, this idea that we just talked about. Think of Thanksgiving. You know, you've been anticipating it for weeks. All the family is there. Oh, you all sit down around the table. There's just a bounty of delicious food spread out before you. There is the aroma of sweet fellowship. It weighs heavy in the air. How easy it is to offer this prayer of praise, Thanksgiving, before we eat. But even after dinner, our bellies are full. People begin to stir and leave the table. But maybe this year you should stop and say, hey, let's pray again. Let's thank God again. Maybe it is in the good times that we ought to especially exalt and praise and give thanks to our God. Psalm 103, those first couple of verses, I think part of what David's saying is don't dwell on the negative. Bless the Lord and don't forget all His benefits. And here's the deal. We see this with God's people throughout the Old Testament for sure, and it's there in the New Testament as well, and it's among us in our own hearts and minds today. And this is the quote. Listen to this. We'll put it up on the screen. The blessings of God can blind us to the God of blessings. The blessings of God can blind us to the God of blessings. You know, when your life is a shambles, a wreck, and things are going wrong, you know, we cry out to God. We need Him desperately in so many ways, and we know it. But when things are all lined up and the ducks are in a row and things are going well, you got that promotion, things came through, your boss is impressed, you got the... It is those times, I think, that can blind us to the God of the blessings. Verses 3 through 5 of Psalm 103, I love especially the verbs and note them as we go through. I'll read the text first, verses 3 through 5. Who forgives, we've just been reminded to take note of the benefits of God, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things, that your youth is renewed like the eagles. This God who forgives all our iniquities. What a stunning statement. And in Isaiah 43, it says, this God is a God who chooses to not even remember them anymore. This is the first of God's gift to the truly repentant sinner who has truly become a true worshiper of God. Right? That He chooses to remember the sins no more. The iniquities are forgiven. This is salvation. This is the door to all the treasure house of God's divine grace and mercy. This is the beginning. This is the gospel. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Those verbs, if you just real quickly, he do you see them? He forgives, He heals, He redeems, He crowns, He satisfies, and then because of that, your youth is renewed like the eagles. If take a moment and drink that in, what an amazing thing that is. What an incredible God that we serve, that loves us and manifests Himself in this way to us. To us. What a beautiful thing. There is some thoughts, and I think room for debate. That second verb, who heals all your diseases. Some think that maybe that is not just physical, maybe and or maybe it's even the diseases of sin. Maybe it's just physical, but I think in the context that it's in, there's some that would argue that it's at least not just the disease of our bodies. Maybe there's more too. Anyway, there's so much there in verses 3 through 5. David says, bless the Lord, O my soul. So before we take a moment for you, and I hope you will take that sentence, that opportunity to praise God. We must learn how and why to give thanks again, I remind you, both on the mountaintop and in the valley and among the paradoxes of life. How do we give thanks to the Lord? How do we bless the Lord when these days are so evil? Ephesians 5 says, be filled with the Spirit. Preach to yourself about the goodness and the grace and the hope and the truth of God. Don't just listen to your ramblings. If your spiritual life is not truly eternal, internal, then it is truly worthless, we said. The blessings of God, we said, can blind us to the God of blessings. So remind yourself of these benefits, right? Again, look at that. Forgives, heals, redeems, crowns, satisfied, and renews us. This is the God that we serve. He's so worthy of our praise. So very worthy. And so let the redeemed of the Lord say so. So if you have a sentence, a praise for our God as you reflect upon this past year, or just something about this wonderful God, this wonderful Father that we have, and the provisions He's given us through His Son, Jesus Christ, raise your hand and I'll point at you. Is there someone here that has a word? Kurt. Bless the Lord, O my soul, for treating me better than I deserve. I'll second that. Amen. May Pearl. Amen. Bless the Lord, O my soul, King of the universe. Anyone else? Shirley. Amen. Amen. Bless the Lord, O my soul, for the light of God that shines into the dark places. Amen. Connie. Bless the Lord, O my soul, for His love and His goodness. Carmel.
Bless the Lord, because He never leaves us.
He never leaves us or forsakes us. Amen. Anyone else today? Amen. Yes, sir. Okay. Bless the Lord, O my soul, for the opportunities and the doors that He opens for us. Bless His name. Amen. Helen. All right. Amen. Thank the Lord that He is a God that hears and answers prayers. Amen. Yoshi. Thank you, Lord, for your love and your discipline. Amen. That mold us and shape us. Carson. He is faithful when we are faithless. He never gives up on us. Thank you, Lord. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Yes, sister. Amen. Healing us and redeeming, putting back together those things that have been shattered and broken. Restoration. He is a God of healing and restoration. Audrey. Amen. His mercy endures forever. Thank you, Audrey. Anyone else before we close today? What a God we serve. And don't pass up the opportunity to continually exalt His name and bless Him. Preach to your soul. Bless the Lord, soul. Take every opportunity. Would you bow with me? Heavenly Father, thank you for being with us today. We are in total awe of you, of your goodness and your grace and your long suffering. Lord, we need your truth and your correction and your guidance, your chastisement. Lord, we need all that you have. Lord, we're thankful that you have provided so much for us through Jesus Christ. The riches there are such a bounty. Lord, as we go through the rest of this week and the days ahead and beyond, Lord, I pray that we would indeed be a people of praise, of thanksgiving, that we would not pass an opportunity to exalt your name and to call others' attention to your wonderful character and truth and goodness and grace. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Praise be to your name. In Jesus we pray. Amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful Sabbath. Bless the Lord, O my soul.